Okay. Reconnect. Hi, everybody. And we are with program number 11 in this Egoic Lotus series. For the moment, though, it looks like I'm frozen. Okay, I'm not frozen anymore. We'll see how long I remain unfrozen. It's almost as if we're looking at a frozen image when it's really in rapid rotation, vorticular motion, scintillating with all the different colors. We have now finished discussing five types of lotuses of the first circle. This will be relatively a short program, I think, certainly not more than an hour and maybe less, maybe. I'm going to discuss some of the triangles of chakras, which are activated at different stages of human evolution, and we can see that during certain tier and petal periods, they will be activated as well. So this is the text beginning from a treatise on cosmic fire, page 168, and I'm calling it Triangles of Chakras. I would like to describe he says here, I just want to, okay, want to make this correct. Nope, that's not correct. I'm looking for a different kind of, yeah, there we go, okay, different kind of color. So DK is talking about C.W. Leadbeater and his work, and he says, I would like to describe these centers in greater detail, dealing with them as seen in etheric matter. Maybe they'll look different in astral matter and in lower mental matter. And basing what I say upon a similar statement by Mr. C.W. Leadbeater in Inner Life, Volume 1, page 447, 460, and you will note the colors of the petals. So when we start studying the colors of the chakras, you see, what is represented here are the colors orange, green, violet, rose, yellow, blue, indigo. The color red is not represented. These are the colors, and where the chakras themselves display these colors, there's going to be a resonance with the petals that primarily display these colors. The primary color of the outer chakra, petals is orange. The primary color is rose for the love petals, and for the petals of sacrifice, it is yellow. That means that particular color is found in every one of them. And I suppose the synthesis petals are said to be, by DK, of a lovely lemon yellow hue. That's how he describes it. So the base of the spine, four petals. These petals are in the shape of a cross and radiate orange fire. So that's the foundation, the etheric foundation. I'm not going to say a whole lot about this because there's other places where I've written about this in my commentary on a treatise on cosmic fire. Just as much as it relates to the egoic lotus, that's what I might say. So, you know, certainly the base of the spine center is involved all the way through. It is the support of life. But it is particularly related to the first of the petals, the first of the knowledge petal. The sacral center, interestingly, is not brought in here. It seems that, there's maybe a reason for that. C.W. Leadbeater studiously avoided discussing that, and at the same time, D.K. says that it's really a kind of evocation and not a permanent kind of chakra. The solar plexus, 10 colors, rosy color with an admixture of green. Well, the green, of course, relates us very much to the third ray and to the aspect of knowledge. All of these knowledge petals are displaying the green here. But the rose shows us that there is a strong connection with the love petals related to the astral plane. So the rose color is found doubled in petal 5. It's found here in petal 4 and also in petal 6, and it relates to the love petals and to the astral body particularly. The throat center, 16 petals of silvery blue. When you talk about silver, you're talking about the third aspect compared to gold, which is the second aspect, with blue predominating. There's a kind of a division between the third and the second aspect, the blue tending towards the third. There's so much to say about these chakras, and I've said a lot before. The connection, I suppose, with the creative throat center, if we look here, we see the blue coming in the fifth petal. That's where creativity is really beginning. We see it also, well, I guess we see it in the second petal, and DK has commented on the creativity of this second petal. It's rather interesting. The eighth petal, again, shows the blue, as does the ninth, interestingly enough, but with it, the indigo as well. There's a lot of complexity in these petals of sacrifice. Let's just say that for this throat center to be really active in a higher sort of way, we have to be working in the love tier minimally. Maybe there's some kind of activation in petal number three, which is a mercurial petal, and I think related a lot to Virgo and to Gemini, but it could be that the mental elemental within the sacral center pretty well covers the kind of mentality we might be having here. It's more of the concrete mind. Okay, and then the head center with its two divisions, twofold divisions, between the eyebrows, consisting of 96 petals, so one half of the lotus being rose and yellow and the other half blue and purple, and we could say that these 96 petals of the Ajna Center begin to be active at the point of personality integration. So in the fifth petal, there is a real integration of the personality, and the Ajna Center will come in with one of its potencies. But there are higher potencies to the Ajna Center as well, very directorial, responsible really for raising the kundalini from the base of the spine, so they certainly come in at the third initiation as well, when the nine petals are completely unfolded. And they also relate the individual to the spiritual triad. So we have to study quite carefully these chakras, and I think I may do that. I may gather together what DK has said about that and make commentary about it and connect and correlate some of the facts that he has given. Then, of course, at the very top of the head, the center consisting of 12 major petals of white and gold. Well, this is going to relate us to the solar angels, of course, with their golden color, and 960 petals arranged around the central 12. And this makes a total of 1068. Interesting that it's 1 0 6 8. 7 and 8 are, let's see, how does this go? 1, 6 and 8 are 14. 1 0 6 8. 14, 15, 6. So it relates us to the Shambhala energy, whose number is 6. 24 equals 6. And to the Atmic plane as well. And also to the jewel in the lotus. So this makes a total of 1068 petals in the two head centers, making one center, he points out to us, or 356 triplicities, and then we could go into that more extensively. The 3 and 5 is 8, 8 and 6, 14, 14 and 5. Well, there's a lot more to be said here, but I'm trying to resist the temptation to get into it in that way. Let's just say that in terms of the egoic lotus, when the center at the top of the head is really vibrant, we certainly have the third initiation and beyond. We have finally even the fifth initiation with the fully unfolded, or, well, mostly unfolded head center. There's so much that is occult about that center that we cannot say how it functions within a Maya Virupa for progressive initiations. And I suppose there is a question about whether the Maya Virupa is needed in some way to pass through progressive initiations, such as mastership or such as Chohanship. That has to be examined. It may be, it may not be. So these different petals are opening at different times. The solar plexus is certainly opening in petal number 2. The throat center, as I say, possibly in petal number 3. The heart center is always sustaining, as we shall see, but its real opening is related to petal number 5, the very center of the 9 petals. And the point at which those hearts of fiery love that we call the solar angels begin to take over the process of guidance. And as I've said, the sacral center, of course, is involved throughout the petals of ignorance. Well, it's involved all the way, but it is pronounced in petal number 1 and in petal number 2, I would say, unless artificially activated under Uranus and the seventh ray and some sort of special cycle through which, in a way, we may be passing, and therefore the sacral center may be activated much more and for different purposes for advanced man. But normally we could confine it to petal number 1 and petal number 2 in terms of its greatest expression. Then, of course, the Ajna Center for personality integration, but also for building the Antikarana and connection to the triad. So petal number 8 is a very important period for building the Antikarana. It's related to Mercury. Mercury is the guardian at the 8th gate and is the, what should we call it, the hierarchical ruler of Scorpio, which rules that 8th petal from one way of counting. And there's more about the Antikarana that happens through petal number 9 as well, because Sagittarius has a connection with Mercury, with winged Mercury. And the flight of the arrow winged Mercury has to do with projecting towards the spiritual triad. Then when we get into the synthesis petals, of course, we are definitely dealing with the head center. And the development of the synthesis petals is occurring between the, well, they have been developing, but the real concentration upon their development is between number 3, initiation 3, and initiation 4. We see how the initiations and the various stages of discipleship and of the average path and so forth, the path of ambition and simply no path at all except the path of evolution, all of these are related to the unfoldment of the petals. Okay, so just as so I have not done anything exhaustive here concerning these chakras, but in the commentary, which is written commentary and can be found on makara.us, that's where I've done more. Just as the monad is the sum total of all the 3 aspects and of 7 principles of man, in a way the 7 principles all emanate from the monad, so is the head center a replica of this, and has within its sphere of influence 7 other centers with itself for synthesis. And these are related, I would say, to Vulcan, which has a relationship to these 7 head centers just the way the Great Bear has a relationship, the stars of the Great Bear, to the 7 head centers and the one about whom naught may be said, a super constellation of Logos. These centers are likewise divided into 3 major and 4 minor centers, with their union and consummation seen in the gorgeous center surmounting and enveloping them all. And these enveloping them all. Okay. There are also 3 physical centers called the Alta Major Center, the Pineal Gland, and the Pituitary Body. And the Alta Major Center is here called a center, but it might as well be called, it is not physical. The carotid gland is related to that particular center, and the pineal gland is related to the head center, and the pituitary to the Ajna Center. So it's very interesting how he mixes these with 2 physical glands and 1 etheric center. Let's see, what do we have here? There are also 3 physical centers called, et cetera, et cetera, with 4 lesser centers, and I suppose well, you know, what are these? Are these going to be physical glands? Perhaps they will be. I wonder if he's talking about the thyroid and the thymus and the solar plexus and the gonads and the adrenals. Of course, there are five there, as I've put them forward. But we have here really the carotid, the pineal, the pituitary, and then, because the alto major center is not usually considered one of the seven, we're going to come up with eight. But four lesser centers, the thyroid gland, the thymus gland, which is not much attended to at this point, but will be increasingly, as initiation becomes a recognized fact. And then, of course, pancreas, did I say that? Pancreas connected with the solar plexus center, and the gonads and ovaries connected with the sacral center, and then the adrenal glands giving that power of life, in a way, connected with the base of the spine center. These four lesser centers are blended in that center, which we call the alta major center. And need not concern us now. I would also point out that there is a close connection between the alta major and the throat. Well, they're very proximate to each other. One is at the top of the spine, and the other is at the bottom of the head. Between the heart center and the pituitary gland, pituitary body telling us something about the second-ray nature of the pituitary body and of the ajna center, and between the head center and the pineal gland. We're told that the mystic is focused on the top of the head, but at a certain point, the energy descends to the vicinity of the pineal gland, its etheric area, and then there is a more advanced stage of evolution where there's a kind of a magical control from the central etheric command center around the pineal gland. The unfoldment of the pineal is taking place with the unfoldment of the head center, and that really has to do with the petals of sacrifice. I mean, if we want to divide all this, we could say that the outer petals relate to that which is subdiaphragmatic. The central petals, the love petals, relate to that which is thoracic. And the sacrifice petals relate to the head, particularly. But it's hard to leave the heart center out of the sacrifice petals. Hard to leave the heart center out of the idea of sacrifice, but we do have the heart within the head, which is probably telling us of a still greater type of sacrifice. It would repay the student to contemplate the interesting succession of triangles that are to be found, and of course, DK is not giving all of them by any means, and the way in which they must be linked by the progression of the fire before that fire can perfectly vivify them. And remember, this progression depends on the ray of the monad, and thence pass on to other transmutations. So vivification and then transmutation, the elevation of the energy of various chakras to other chakras. We might enumerate some, and it's only some, because if one really thinks carefully, one can think of so many other triangles which are active in the body and are not necessarily proximate or contiguous with each other and are very important. I mean, just think about the way that the 10C group of people are activated. The political workers are activated by the head center, the heart center, and the base of the spine center. Those are not proximate centers, but they are the important ones for the political workers. The workers in education do have proximate centers activated, the head center, the ajna center, and the throat center. When it comes to, I'm trying to think here. Well, anyway, let's just say that when you look at the different arrangements of the centers, they sometimes skip a center in order to express the kind of energy that has to be expressed. When I think of the psychologist, it's the head, the throat, the heart, and the solar plexus, but the ajna center is skipped. It's skipped over. And, of course, out of those four, you can make various types of triangles. So only some of the triangles, but important ones are here listed, bearing in mind that according to the ray, and, you know, according to the ray, and here he's, you know, not telling the whole story, but the ray of the monad, ray of the monad, so will perceive the geometric rising of the fire, and according to the ray, so will the points be touched in ordered sequence. Okay, well, there may be a point which is almost always touched first, but then that which represents the third aspect may almost always be touched first, but then there's a choice of the other two aspects. Or it could possibly be that when the first ray monad is involved, that which is the highest part of the triangle related to will is touched first, and then the third aspect, and then the love aspect. That is also possible. Herein lies one of the secrets of initiation, and herein is found some of the dangers entailed in too quick a publication of the information concerning the rays, and especially the relationship of the rays to the chakras. Actually, he warned us not to make that prematurely available, but amongst disciples, it can be made available. So now we are looking at certain triangles. This first triangle is called the pranic triangle, and it does not utilize major centers, although sometimes the spleen is considered to be a major center, and certainly for Leadbeater it was. He substituted that for the sacral center. But there is a shoulder center which is in the lower part of the... let's see. Let me just check that out, because there's also a lung center which has to be discussed. I did check it, and it says, in this second stage, this vitalizing blended fire reaches the center between the lower parts of the shoulder blades, which is the point of conjunction and of complete merging of the fire from the base of the spine and the fire circulating through the pranic triangle. So it seems that the pranic triangle has this shoulder center, and from the base of the spine it rises to the shoulder center. There also seems, I think, even just from experience, to be a center above the heart center, and it might be called the center in the lungs, and is also, it seems to me, associated with vitality. So we have a center near the diaphragm, and it's above the diaphragm, whereas the solar plexus is slightly below the diaphragm and the spleen. So we have the first, second, and third aspects here, the first, second, and third rays, at least, or aspects. Excuse me. And this is a center of vitalization, and it's obviously going to be strongly connected with the first petal, where the man is living strictly the vital life. The solar plexus is not involved. The sacral center and base of the spine are involved in this first petal, but in terms of the pranic triangle and supplying the man with the vitality for the vital life which he leads, this triangle will be active. And you kind of wonder, you know, how it works as we go through the different phases of the petal. Of petal number one are different aspects of it added according to the aspects. The spleen would be related to the third aspect, the center near the diaphragm, the second, and the shoulder center to the first aspect. And maybe there is a rising as we process through the petals, a rising from aspect to aspect. But that, of course, would be purely speculative, and we'd have to know a lot more about what actually transpires during that stage and be able to examine such lives. Man controlled from the astral plane. Well, that is human group number four, somewhat human group number three, even human group number five, three, four, and five. Controlled from the astral plane, the modern Atlanteans, even the nice good people who can be intensely emotional, and those who have the shallow wish life in group number three, they are all controlled from the astral plane. The base of the spine is there for vitalization. The solar plexus, very strong, I would say. And interestingly enough, the heart center, not in the sense of love, but in the sense of magnetism and vitalization. So we have the lotuses of Brahman with this particular triangle. Now, I'm not trying to be exclusive here. I'm just trying to make a few correlations which may give us a sense of structure in this whole process. And when it comes to the pranic triangle, we have the Brahmic lotuses, certainly, but there are other chakras, of course, the base of the spine and the sacral center. Notice that here, from the astral plane, the sacral center is not so much mentioned. Of course, it still continues to be active, but we were told that love begins to rise above the strictly instinctual nature. Then we go on to man controlled from the mental plane. The base of the spine is still there for vitalization. The heart and the throat, the heart is there as a constant. So far, the base of the spine and the heart are found in these two levels. Now, at what point is man really controlled from the mental plane? And then why is the sacral center, which is the home of the mental elemental, missing? Could we say that there are those who are working very much in the third petal and have unfolded the third petal who are gaining some degree of concrete mental control? But I think if we really want to go to the thinker who is focused in the mind, and even later in the mind held steady in the light, we have to be working increasingly in tier number two, the love petals. There's a lot of the third ray in the Cancerian petal, the fourth, and a lot of creative thinking, and it's a Leo petal, the fifth ray, and the sense of the light coming into the mind with that fifth petal. So the throat center definitely is involved here, and I would say that we don't get a real focus on the throat center until we reach petal number three and then go on with four and five. And, of course, it does continue to develop its capacities for expressing intelligence all the way through. The nine petals of the egoic lotus have an interesting number, nine, which is the number associated with the third ray of intelligence, just the way five is associated with the second ray. One with the first ray, seven with the seventh ray, and then a few other numbers involved there, which Stephen Pugh, a ray theorist and an esoteric astrologer, has theorized to be 1-5 associated with the sixth ray, 3-5 with the fifth ray, and 2-5 with the fourth ray. And that all remains to be proven, but there are some good confirmatory references along those lines. Man controlled from the mental plane. Now, this is interesting because it's not the lotuses of passion and desire. So none of those lotuses of the first circle are yet controlled from the mental plane. When the all three petals in the Hall of Ignorance are completely opened, we can say that it's more likely for the man to be controlled by the from the mental plane, but that opening is not likely to occur, will not occur, unless there's a lot of work being done in the love petals. Man partially controlled by the ego, advanced man. Well, this is not going to happen until there is work being done in the fifth petal. Whoop, how did I do that? Okay. Not done until man is working in the fifth petal and becomes a creative thinker and later an aspirant. So this type of creativity may be the result of the solar angel showing interest in the man who is working in that fifth petal. The heart, of course, is involved. Notice we've dropped the base of the spine, so we're not dealing strictly with vitality anymore, but the heart is the sustaining organ. It is the, the heart is the sustaining organ. It is the factor of integration in all of this. And I suppose with every one of these three, we're going to have a different aspect of divinity correlated with each. Well, the heart is obviously second ray, throat third, and the head first ray. Here, when we deal with the base of the spine will be first ray, heart second ray, throat third ray. When we deal with mind control from the astral plane, or at least aspect, base of the spine first, the heart will be second, and the solar plexus with its tinting of green related to the third aspect and the third ray in this particular case. There's a lot of the activity quality involved with the solar plexus and with Mars as the general ruler of the solar plexus. Okay, now, so we have advanced man here. It's possible that for advanced man, the egoic lotus will begin its movement toward focus on the second subplane. The throat is very important for advanced man because he is a mental being, or at least he has mentality as a great possibility. His rays may incline otherwise, but he can certainly think, and not only in a concrete manner. So the four lesser centers within the head and their synthesis, the alta major. Now this is leaving, I suppose, two other centers available to be called the seven head centers. So advanced man takes us up to the first initiation with this fivefold synthesis. Interestingly, the heart is said to be stimulated at the first initiation, but also the movement from the sacral center to the throat is also a dynamic factor involved in the first initiation. As far as the head centers go, the most occult of the head centers are not to be found. The alta major looks like the third ray synthesizing center. So the alta major center takes the place here of Brahma and the third aspect of divinity. It's like the third ray synthesizes all the other four. That's how it seems to work. So who is this man partially controlled by the ego, the advanced man? Well, he's working in petal number 4, 5, and 6, and he is, I suppose, focusing especially in petal number 5, because there, when it fully unfolds, we will have the first degree initiate. So there's so much going on in petal number 5, all the way from the nth degree of egotism, and then a period of a creativity, a period of distress when the lower ego does not prove adequate, and a period of entering the life of the aspirant looking in earnest for a higher self. See, the fifth petal is all about self. Which self will it be? Will it be the lower egoic self, or will it be the higher self? That's what we have to discover. So this is going to take us all the way to the first initiation, which really begins here. Spiritual man to the third initiation. So from the time we're at the first initiation, the other head centers become active, the other esoteric two. Now, you know, we can ask, are these the highest head center and the ajna center? Well, maybe not in this context. Again, we have heart and throat. We're blending love and mind in group number 5, group number 4, and beginning in group number 3, the triangle, I should have called them, triangle number 3. So all the way to the third head center, to the third initiation, we have the blending of the third aspect and the second aspect of the heart, and the seven head centers ruled by first ray Vulcan. So, there is, when you look at the third decanate of Capricorn, there's a mixture there of the Sun, Vulcan, and Mercury. Mercury, but accompanied by Vulcan and the Sun. So that is where initiation is really going to occur. Vulcan ruling all seven head centers, and by the time we reach this point, this point of the third degree, we're going to have all seven head centers awake. To what extent, I don't know, but it looks like they are largely awake, and the man has contacted the monad. The monad is will. So we're definitely working in the sacrifice petals here, definitely, because when you look at it, the petal number seven is associated with the first initiation, and its reflex result is the unfoldment of the fifth. Petal number eight is connected with the second initiation, and its reflex result is the unfoldment of petal number six. Petal number nine is connected with the third initiation, and when it is fully unfolded, so is petal number eight and petal number seven. So there is no reflex petal for petal number nine. The entire sacrifice tier is open when petal number nine is open. And of course, these colors are they're going to be very, very important. Yeah, well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that as we go along. So spiritual man, that is the first degree initiate, to the third initiation, the Christ has been born in the heart. There is spiritual intelligence at the second degree and mental illumination. And then there is, spiritual intuition, we might call it, or intuitive instinct, I guess. Not just spiritual instinct, but intuitive instinct found at the third degree, and the seven head centers, the controlling centers, have to be working, and man becomes, what should we say, the ancient domination of the personality is controlled. The will is very strong at that point. The monad comes in at that point, and the man is possessed by a new type of will. Then finally, we get to spiritual man to the fifth initiation. The heart remains, the throat is not involved anymore because we're beginning maybe even to experience the disintegration of the knowledge petals as intuition becomes more important. The seven head centers, however, carry over, and this is that transfiguring will. And then the two many-petaled lotuses, which are the ajna and the lotus at the top of the head, the Brahmarandra, the thousand-petaled lotus. So man is really controlled by the head from the time the third degree begins and takes him all the way to the fifth degree. And notice that even though the physical body has, in a sense, disappeared, it can very much at the fourth degree die, and there's no need to be reborn again unless for service purposes, at least in the normal way. I mean, usually high initiates of this type take over the body of one of their chelas. That's what they do, and, you know, just the way the Master Jesus stood aside for Lord Maitreya, so we could say that Apollonius of Tyana stood aside for the Master Jesus, or the initiate Jesus, when he was going to take his fifth initiation. So the heart continues, but by this time it is very important as a chakra that is going to be active at the fourth initiation. The seven head centers suggest the third initiation and also a degree of mastery and control over the personality, and the two many-petaled lotuses are going to finally liberate the man. They are going to connect him finally with the monad, and maybe even with the logoic plane. So where are we in the egoic lotus here? Well, all nine petals are open. The man has taken the third degree. The heart is still active, and it's correlated with the heart and the head. The seven head centers are active at the time of the third degree, and they continue to be active in this increasing power of the will to control the lower nature. And there is a great flourishing of the thousand-petal lotus, which reaches its consummation not at the fourth degree, but probably in a Maya Virupa of the fifth degree. I mean, what you could check upon here is whether a physical body is needed in order to take the fifth initiation, or whether, because apparently there are some references which say no, it is not, and it can be taken elsewhere without the physical body. Is it possible, however, for the body to survive at the fourth degree and mastership to be achieved with that particular vehicle in which the fourth degree has also been taken? In that case, there will be the full flowering of all of these chakras, and the base of the spine, which is the center of will rise up to the center of purpose, which is the two many-petaled lotuses, or the thousand-petaled lotus especially. But also it's possible that a man will use the body of his disciple, and then the results within that vehicle will be the results that he himself engineers going through the initiation that he's going to take. And that's quite interesting. Or it may be possible that even after the fourth degree, he can generate a Maya Virupa, and in that Maya Virupa can go through certain unfoldments. I mean, there are Maya Virupas for Chohans and for seventh degree Chohans as well. So we cannot say that every Maya Virupa has petals and centers that are equally unfolded. We can have Maya Virupas of different types. But you see how we've dropped off the base of the spine center. Well, now it looks like as if we should have it again somehow, you know, as if there should be a connection between what you might call the base of the spine, the Ajna center, and the thousand-petaled lotus. I know that he brings them into one here, but this would really be mastership, or maybe, well, you know, the base of the spine is needed. That's all I can say in order to bring about the fullest type of fulfillment. Now, when we're looking at this triangle in terms of the petals of the egoic lotus, well, it's after the third degree and, to a certain extent, after the egoic lotus has itself disappeared. And the man is a living representation of the spiritual triad. And the two many-petaled lotuses are connected with the triad and the monad, rather than being connected with the soul, per se. Since what we usually call the soul has disappeared, we are and since the central fire has risen and the atomic triangle has been incorporated in the higher three permanent atoms of the spiritual triad, well, then the two many-petaled lotuses are going to be receiving influences more directly from higher sources than they could when there was a causal body or a kind of veiling sheath. All right, now I said this would be a little bit of a shorter program. Actually, I have one of those midnight meetings of the Maury Federation faculty as we're going through the Rays initiations. Well, it's midnight for me, but I thought it would be possible to do one more program before that occurred. All these different periods show different triangular radiances. We must not infer from this that when the fire is centered in one triangle, it is not demonstrating in the other. So it takes the eye of the seer to see which is the keenest, which is the brightest triangle. The eye of the seer can determine which is the brightest triangle. Once the fire has free passage along any triangle, it flames continuously, but always there is one triangle more radiant, so there's a continuous flaming of whatever triangle has already been developed. It's not going to subside into a faded condition. Once the fire has free passage along any triangle, it flames continuously, but always there is one triangle more radiant and luminous than the other, and that will tell something about the stage of evolution and also about the degree of petal unfoldment. And it is from these glowing triangles of light, issuing from wheels and vortices of fire, that the clairvoyants and the teachers of the race can appraise a man's position in the scheme of things and judge of his attainment. So, of course, it's, you know, most important for each one of us to say through which particular triangle do we feel is brightest, most flaming in our particular work at this time, and which should be, and are we somehow changing our triangular emphasis? At the culmination of life experience and when man has reached his goal, each triangle is a radiant path of fire, and each center a wheel of living fire rotating at terrific speed and presumably rotating upon itself. The center at this stage not only rotates in a specific direction, but literally, yes, turns upon itself, forming a living, flaming, iridescent globe of pure fire. I mean, it has to be a fantastic vision, and it has to show so much of the beauty of creation that one wonders why one wastes one's time with lesser pursuits and objectives, and therefore, you know, can possibly inspire other people not to waste their time because such beauty is awaiting them. So it turns upon itself, forming a living, flaming, iridescent globe of pure fire, and holding within it a certain geometrical shape. Okay. And yet, withal, vibrating so rapidly that the eye can scarcely follow it. Now, this geometrical shape, it may be particular to each center, or it may be that the ray of the monad has its particular type of geometrical shape. In triangular form, I would say the equilateral triangle for the first ray, the isosceles triangle for the second ray, and the 3-4-5 scalene triangle for the third ray. And I know there is a place where that, where one of those figures appears. I'm not sure it is here. We notice how the different letters of the Sanskrit alphabet seem to be associated with the chakras. We do wonder about the derivation of the letters in the Hebrew alphabet. The letters are said to be derived from yods, or tongues of flame, and the letters are composite yods in a way. I'm not sure what kind of composite may come out of the Sanskrit letters, but it's quite possible that these letters are not arbitrary at all, but are relating to what has been seen psychically, internally, at different stages of evolution in relation to the chakras. At least that's something to consider when thinking about the derivation of letters in these ancient languages. So, we have a living, flaming, iridescent globe of pure fire, holding within it a certain geometrical shape, yet withal vibrating so rapidly that the eye, the inner eye, can scarce follow it. Above all, at the top of the head will be seen a fiery display that seems to put all the other centers into insignificance. So, you know, we're definitely, I think, you know, we're kind of looking at the initiate of the fifth degree here. And of course, that can seem difficult because the physical body is often missing by that point, but then a master does have his own vehicle and can sustain the vehicle in which he took the fourth initiation. I think Master DK did that. I think a relatively older vehicle, his vehicle in mastership was not a Maya Virupa, but was a preserved vehicle in which he had taken the fourth degree, and by the time 1875 came along, he had taken the fifth degree, and as he was working with Alice Bailey and with the Tibetan, with Blavatsky, he was using that particular vehicle. So anyway, there's a lot of hints in these things here, and it says here that from the heart of this many-petaled lotus issues a flame of fire with the basic hue of a man's ray. Well, sometimes when we say the primary ray, with words like basic and primary, this seems to be the hue of the monadic ray. And it is at such a time when the monadic ray is very powerful in the developmental process. This flame mounts upward and seems to attract downward a sheet of electric light, which is the downflow from the spirit on the highest plane. So this marks the blending of the fires and the deliverance of man from the trammels of matter. Whatever display there is at the fourth initiation, and there's bound to be a display, because the man is living according to will and purpose, the initiation, blazing Leonian initiation with the dome of the head in a way ruled by Leo, occurs at the fifth degree. So when we talk about display, we're liable to be talking of the fifth degree. When we talk about the prominence of the monad, we're liable to be talking about the fifth degree. This is the... I've always marveled at this particular paragraph. I've wondered, you know, the sheet of electric light comes from the monad, but the monad itself has a color. Now, of course, there are, you know, two layers of monads, at least so it seems to me, a sevenfold one and a threefold one. And you wonder maybe if the sheet of electric light doesn't come from one of the three, and the color of the man, of the hue of the man's basic ray is not one of the seven. This is a, you know, simply a speculation, and it makes me wonder, because the true sheet of electric light, is it electric blue or simply electric light, fits with the spirit, of course. In some way, the rising ray, or the what is it called here, issues a flame. This rising flame of a particular color seems invocative. So the rising flame of a particular color seems invocative of the sheet of electric electric light, of the sheet of electric light. So the flame, it's not just the soul ray, because the soul is the subray. When a word like basic is used, a word like primary, we are talking in the language of the monad. So I'm going to make that even bigger, so we get maybe the idea that basic and primary are pretty connected with each other. So all of these ascending triangles are activated and become flamingly evident at different stages of the man's evolution. They may subside somewhat, or simply be considered of less luminosity or radiance than the higher triangle, which takes its place. Do we have finally a triangle for man at this degree? Well, the heart, the seven head centers, and the two many-petaled lotuses. And one begins to wonder about the symbol of the cardinal cross here. Well, you know, those symbols are not arbitrary, and they probably do have a meaning within the constitution of man. So many things that we say, well, these are our letters, these are our symbols, they are actually derived from clairvoyant sight, from the shapes that are seen in the inner worlds when certain developments are occurring. So we have six triangles and a great consummation. We have a pranic triangle. We have man controlled from the astral plane, you know, first petal, second petal. We have man controlled from the mental plane, third, fourth, and fifth petals. Even the number 3, 4, and 5 are very closely related to Mercury. Third-ray personality and monad, 4, fourth-ray soul, 5, maybe a fifth-ray mind, and certainly a monad, a lesser monad of the fifth ray. Man partially controlled by the ego, advanced man, so shifting location on the higher mental plane, the heart and throat again, and 4 of the lesser centers with the alto major center as the synthesis. It's a Brahmic condition, and we are rising to the height of Brahma, in a sense, at the first initiation. It is a kind of a Brahmic initiation. It has to do with the control of the third aspect of divinity. Then we go on, spiritual man to the third degree, third initiation. We have unfoldments going on in the sacrifice petals, and more and more in the synthesis petals. And here's spiritual man to the fifth degree. The heart, which is buddhi, in this case, is related to the Buddhic plane, and interestingly enough, the three petals of synthesis are a Buddhic evocation. The downflow of energy from the Buddhic plane created them. So there is going to be, at this point, a lot of work in the unfolding of the synthesis petals and the relationship to Buddhi as pure reason. The seven head centers will keep the personality under control and bring increasingly the will not only of the soul, but the will of the monad into expression. And we will have a connection with the atomic plane, the monadic plane, and the logoic plane in the following way. In terms of the many-petaled lotus, all the petals together can be considered in a way atomic. The 12 petals at the heart can be connected with the 12-fold monad. I do believe it is 12-fold. Just check out Esoteric Healing, the second stanza for healers, written in symbolic language. And the center in the many-petaled lotus, related, yes, to the jewel in the lotus, but once that repositions itself in relation to the triad, this central jewel in the many-petaled lotus is going to be related directly to the logoic plane, to the monad itself, and ultimately to the free monad, which will be on the logoic plane. Well, okay, I think maybe we have seen how we can look at the important triangles developing in a man's life, and how these triangles will be related to the processes being undertaken in the different tiers and petals, and even beyond the egoic body altogether. Well, I'd like to make this program of an hour's duration, and I think the best way to do that, it's a win-win situation. We have the Great Invocation, and that'll take us just to an hour. Excuse me. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Om. Okay, friends, that's the end of our program number 11. And we will be starting with program number 12. I never know where we're going to start next. We have several possibilities. We have done these triangles of chakras. Okay, and what might be the next thing. We have to get into some of the astrology. Because the, well, maybe also the organization of the tiers of petals in the three halls. That would be very interesting. Also, initiation and the planets, initiations and the signs, the crises of the soul as things unfold. We're going to pass through these crises. Perhaps the quality of the heart, qualities of the heart. 11 qualities are given, but 12 are inferred. And, yeah, I think we're getting there in terms of their preliminary material. We are getting there. I think the types of souls, in a way, we have already done at the beginning here. We've done the types of souls. So the centers and discipleship, well, we'll find things that are worth looking at, and we will together gather this preparatory material so that I can really spend time synthesizing as we discuss each of the petals. And I will have discussed sufficiently these different factors which I want to draw into relation with the petal for you to understand that if you've followed it so far. If I just started to draw everything in, attempting to synthesize before laying out the these factors, then it would be hopelessly confusing, and this way I think we can manage it. So, all right, we're going to go on to program number 12. We'll see you then. Bye-bye for now.